I call this House Finance Committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it is Monday, March 4th at 1:34 p.m. With us today, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Edgman, Representative Cortez, Representative Crock, Representative Foster, myself, Representative Johnson. We have our assisted today by our LIO moderator, Emily Mesh, and our committee secretary is Bree Wiley. We've also been joined by Representative Cologne. So today we will receive committee subcommittee closeout reports, two subcommittee closeouts reports. We will go through the reports grouped together by the chair of each subcommittee. And Ledge Finance will be available for questions. First of all, we begin with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs with Representative Foster and continue with Representative Foster for the Office of the Governor. Very good. Representative Foster, would you and or your staff please come to the table, put yourself on the record, and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could bring up my staff, Brody Anderson.
All right. Welcome, Brody Anderson. Welcome to House Finance.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. Today we'll be addressing the House Finance Subcommittee budget closeout for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. The majority of the information will be coming from the narrative closeout document that is before the members. Starting with the total fund sources for the department, the fund sources for unrestricted general funds, or UGF, is $17,218,800. For DGF, or designated general funds, we have $28,500. For other funds, $12,583,800. For federal funds, $34,302,800, for a total fund source spend of $64,088,900. Concentrating on the unrestricted general fund differences from the FY25 adjusted base, that is an increase of approximately 12%, or a total of $1,843,100. In position counts, the department employs 283 permanent full-time positions with no permanent part-time and temporary positions. In reviewing the actions taken by the subcommittee, we accepted all of the governor's requested FY20 requests, including the amendments. I want to focus a couple on a few of the ones that were accepted. In relation to the Alaska Military Youth Academy, we approved a $160,000 increase of general fund match to cover the federally funded employee benefit costs. We also approved a $51,300 for general fund match for increasing their position counts for two coordinators. This is so they could meet the federally required counselor to candidate and case manager to candidate ratios. This was a requirement by DOD's National Guard Bureau, by the federal government. We also approved $631,000 for operational costs for AMIA due to the inflation, maintenance, and technology costs. Following that, in the Office of the Commissioner, we accepted $138,000 program manager to oversee the Alaska State Defense Force. We accepted $26,000 of general funds and a $1,800 GF match to hire an accounting technician to process travel for both the Alaska Army National Guard and the Alaska State Defense Force. We also included $50,000 for general funds and $1,100 of match for a systems programmer regarding cybersecurity. Then we increased, we accepted the request of $261,000 of general funds to expand the operations of all of the following: the Alaska State Defense Force, the Naval Militia, and the Civil Air Patrol. And then we also accepted a $200,000 general fund for tuition assistance for the Alaska National Guard and Naval Militia members. All the actions were approved for Homeland Security and Emergency Management, which included $143,000 of federal funds with a $61,000 IA receipt approval for two emergency management specialist positions, $80,000 of federal funds and $34,000 of IA receipts for the emergency management specialist supervisor position. And then finally, we added $186,000 of general funds for increased pay of the 17 current veteran service officers, and then approving one additional VSO officer, which would be stationed in Ketchikan. Madam Chairman, that concludes the walkthrough of the narrative.
Madam.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just in a nutshell, essentially what the Civic Committee did is we accepted all the governor's recommendations, with the exception of the addition by subcommittee amendments of the veteran service officers in the amount of the $186,000 for general funds. The original amendment for that was an increase of $400,000. We reduced that down to the $186,000. And so I think in a nutshell, Mr. Anderson has covered everything. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Okay. And let's go ahead and move along on to the Office of the Governor. Oh, Representative Hannon. And I was reminded that the goal is, and this is not for you, Representative Hannon, it's for everyone. For me, particularly, someone mentioned that you make sure to remind me and myself and the committee that the goal isn't to go through all the subcommittee work, it's to receive the presentation. But I'm happy to if you have some questions, we'll
have a question. So, through Co-Chair Johnson to Co-Chair Foster. And I know that a couple of the ads in the BA sheets are adding some emergency management specialist positions for disaster assistance. And I assume at some point, although it's not operating budget, that you had a dialogue about that disaster assistance money being parceled out. I know that when disasters happen, communities need that assistance, but they also need the pool of money that they need the bureaucrats to help them access. And so I'm wondering if the fund is going up as well as more staffing to get people through to that, or if these are the wrong disaster specialists. If these are the folks who help process the things to keep local governments that have been impacted and individuals who might be eligible for disaster assistance, keeping them going forward, but whether we've got more money coming for the pool that they're tapping into.
And Madam Chair, thank you. So these additional emergency specialists are additional resources to help with disasters as we go forward and anticipating, you know, increased disasters. But I think your question is in terms of the fund itself and whether or not that number is going up, and that's not a number that goes into the DMVA budget. To my understanding, that would be a number that goes into oftentimes will increase the supplemental, for example, but we do put that into the operating budget, and I don't think we've got to that point. Maybe Mr. Anderson can elaborate a little bit more on that.
Through the chair, for the record, Brody Anderson, through the chair, Representative, correct. The disaster relief fund is normally under the auspices of the language section, which is funded separately. These are positions that directly fall under the department and are funded through general fund requests outside of the funding associated with the disaster relief fund. So that will be a conversation of the fund total for this committee when the full entire operating budget is before the committee.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to make note that for the record that Representative Scapp joined us at 1:38 p.m. and 1:45 we were joined by Representative Calvin. And if there's no additional questions, we will now move. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the chair. And this question will probably be for Representative Foster or for Mr. Anderson. On that final point that you made, Representative Foster, of around the adding $186,000 of general funds for increased pay of $7,000, I assume you said that that figure was reduced. So was the proposal by the governor to increase the pay to a higher number than $7,000, or is it just going to be split amongst fewer people? In other words, where does that reduction come from?
Thank you. The governor did not have any recommendations to increase VSO pay. A amendment was proposed by one of the subcommittee members to increase that by $400,000. What eventually passed was to increase that by $186,000, and that would be for overall increases for the existing VSOs as well as for the additional VSO position that would be placed into Ketchikan. I believe I've got that correct, Mr. Anderson.
Through the chair, that's correct, Representative. The $7,000 increase came from a resolution passed by the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council, and that was submitted as backup documents. The council had made the resolution to increase pay by $7,000 to meet the current cost of inflation and things that the VSOs were working under. So the $186,000 comes more in line with what the advisory council had recommended, along with then adding that same price tag to one additional unit that would go to Ketchikan.
And just a final question, very quick. Just a quick summary. The VSO, these folks, they're individuals in communities, and specifically they just facilitate on behalf of veterans in relationship to the federal government and the state government. Is that what happens there?
Through the chair, Representative, yes, the veteran service officers are funded through a grant program administered by the Department of the Division of Veteran Services. They contract out through American Legion, veteran service organizations that are in town, and then those service VSOs are, the money is passed through to pay for their services.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And the purpose of the VSOs is to help veterans make sure that they're taking advantage of all the benefits and help them maneuver the bureaucracy and paperwork that goes along with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Moving on to, unless Representative Scapp has a comment.
Yeah, I just have a quick question, actually, through the chair to Mr. Anderson. Are these VFW and DAV American Legion contracted VSOs? Because there's, you know, feds have VSOs, different cyber veteran services have VSOs. So some, I think the state ones are contracted with the VFW and American Legion. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative, correct. I am forgetting. They also mentioned the Purple Heart, the association that deals with Purple Heart recipients. That service organization also has been mentioned in their contracts, but the majority is American Legion and VFWs.
Thanks.
All right, that concludes our Department of Military and Veterans Affairs Subcommittee report, and that we will now move to the Office of the Governor. And Representative Foster and Mr. Anderson, if you would, go ahead and begin your presentation as you wish.
Thank you. Once again, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. In front of you today is the narrative document for the Office of the Governor's Budget Subcommittee closeout. Once again, I will direct your attention to the fund sources for the Office of the Governor. In unrestricted general funds, or UGF, we are recommending $28,519,800. There is no designated general funds. For other funds, there is $390,600. And for federal funds, there is $137,200 for a total fund source spend of $29,047,600. In relation to unrestricted general fund spending, that is an increase of 3.6% above adjusted base request for a total of $997,000 of UGF spending. The Office of the Governor employs 146 permanent full-time positions with 146 permanent full-time with 24 temporary positions for a total of 170 positions. The subcommittee is recommending that you accept all of the governor's proposed items, which would include $300,000 for two new special agents assigned to the governor's security team, $350,000 for inflationary costs and enhanced security for the governor's Anchorage office, $75,000 of maintenance for the ranked choice voting system, $120,000 for the Division of Elections Public Relations Manager, which would be a new position, then a $152,000 fund source swap to UGF from the Capital Improvement Project receipts within for the Division of Operations Manager position. That position is currently filled and doing work, but the money for the CIP receipts are no longer available, so it's moving from that over to general funds. And then $100,000 reduction in federal funds within the Human Rights Commission to align with expected expenditures. The amount of work that they're doing won't require that much federal authority there sitting in that fund source.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to add a little bit of background on this as well, just to give some perspective. So again, we are accepting all of the governor's requests. And last year, the governor had requested two personnel for a security team additional. And at the House level, we adopted that and approved that. They did drop out at the conference committee level, and then the governor did subsequently veto $100,000 out of the legislature's request for security. So just throwing that out there. So anyway, thank you, Madam Chair.
Right. Representative Hammond.
Chair.
Any question? What's that?
I had a question.
Yes. Representative Hammond and Representative Cole.
Thank you. Through the co-chair Johnson to co-chair Foster, I am going to ask a couple questions about the security, and I can't remember the total. Does he have 8 and we're adding 2 and we're bringing it to 10, or does he have 10 and we're adding 2 and it brings it to a dozen?
We might need to get a lifeline on that one. Okay.
And then the second element that references enhanced security, it says inflation and enhanced security, and I'm wondering, is that inflation of the office costs, or is it trying to figure out in that next element of 350 how much of that is security? So I was just trying to keep in my mind what the security component is.
Through the chair, representative, for I'll get a lifeline for how many we're increasing for the security team in relation to the enhanced security and inflation costs question. The cost of inflation and the cost of the lease for that floor has gone up. According to the Office of the Governor, they actually didn't ask for the entire amount of the inflation costs because they also have portions of the security that they wanted to take care of. That floor used to share office space with another department. It was suggested that that other department be moved out of the same floor as the governor, and then additional improvements be made on that floor to enhance the security. So the total ask was $350,000, even though they alluded to the fact that the full cost would be more than what they were asking for.
Representative Cole.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Galvin.
Through the chair, maybe this is, I don't know, Mr. Anderson, maybe. I was just wondering on the ranked choice, or the election ranked choice voting campaign. So in the book, it talks about a multi-year appropriation of $3 million. They're asking for 2.5, 25. Yeah. So I'm just wondering if the subcommittee asked about what that money was being spent for or why we continue to need money around ranked choice voting. Does it look like it's like for the election office to operate ranked choice? Sounds like it's outside of that. Didn't know if the subcommittee talked about that at all.
Through the chair, Representative, the conversation about the spending of the current structure of ranked choice voting, living within elections and operating, that is built into the base now for operations. So there wasn't a lot of conversations that continued on about current spending on the ranked choice voting. These were the things that we did talk about was the increase in the for the IT. The current system needs an upgrade of that $75,000 to update the program that runs the ranked choice voting system directly. And then for the public relations, they found out that, you know, educating Alaskans through, you know, using ranked choice voting, they felt like they needed additional person to continue that effort of public relations and communication, someone to handle the volume of calls that were coming in after the commercials and things like that. That was why that request was made as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Next up, Representative Galvin. I just answered. Okay, very good. Any additional questions on the closeout?
Yeah, just to clarify that, Mike.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Mr. Anderson. The request last year on the special agents was disapproved by the legislature. So last year, FY24, he wanted $300,000 essentially. And this year, including part of the next item, which is enhanced security, he wants more than $300,000. Is that right?
Through the chair, the enhanced security, I don't know if it's a direct correlation to what he requested for his security team. So I'm not sure how that one relates, but yes, he did ask for two full-time agents last year that in the end was denied. And if I could, I do have an answer, Madam Chair, if I could answer on the security team. Representative Hannon's question from earlier, they went from 7, they are currently at 7 and requesting to go up to 9.
All right, thank you. Seeing no additional committee discussion before us. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Our next meeting is Tuesday, March 5th at 9 a.m. At that time, we will hear HB 126 regarding associate and professional counselors, HB 115 regarding naturopaths, and HB 111 regarding education for the deaf and hearing impaired. And with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 1:58 p.m.